Joining me again live in studio right now is Drew and Kip Hanick, and they're going to be telling us about the recent Martin Luther King Jr. event that was held once again in the Starbottom community over the Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. Both of you, Drew and Kip, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good morning.
Hi there.
We're glad to be here.
I appreciate you swinging by and stepping in studio to tell us about this. So we've heard about this event on the air, and it seems like it's been well attended and everything like that. So happy you guys reached out to us and offered to come in and tell us. For those who haven't been yet, just give us some background on this event and why you both decided to start it up.
Well, the members of the Baha'i Faith many years ago felt that the Martin Luther King Day event, or usually on the day, was an important aspect of community life that hadn't been receiving much attention. And so the Baha'is, because we believe in the oneness of humanity, started an observance. It was small, and I think some of the first were held in the flower shop, the old Afton flower shop. And then things faded a little bit because the flower shop was no longer available. Another couple decided that they would have a free spaghetti dinner at the fairgrounds. So we had quite large attendance to those on Monday nights. But sometimes there was a blizzard. And then COVID happened, so everything shut down. And a couple of years ago, I decided that we needed some observance and visited with the Baha'i community in a process called consultation, where people share ideas and we pick the best and go forward. So we decided maybe Saturdays would be better. And so we started about three or four years ago, since COVID. And we've had different iterations of the program. But 3 years ago, we did a little bit about Barbara Rose Johns, and Kip will be able to tell a little bit more about her. So this year, we joined with Star Valley Common Ground as additional resources and support and manpower. And this group is an amazing group. I have told so many people that figuring out what we needed and if we were going to do a free meal and all, it just flowed. People said, I can do this, I can do that. One couple baked 16 loaves of sourdough bread. I mean, that goes above and beyond. And no one asked, well, what should I do? Everybody could see what needed to be done and stepped up and did it.
Very cool. So,
and that's very cool.
That's when you know you got something good going on. Absolutely.
That's right.
So Kip, let's talk about, you had a great guest that Drew alluded to. Tell us more about that.
Well, I told the story about Barbara Rose Johns. So the last chapter of her story was just written last month when the state of Virginia unveiled a statue of her in the visitors hall at our U.S. Capitol building, because this 7-foot-tall statue of Barbara is going to be one of the two statues that state displays in the halls of Congress. And it'll actually be right under the rotunda in the area called the Crypt. And so Barbara will be joining George Washington to represent the state of Virginia. Now, why? Well, this story starts 75 years ago when Barbara was a 16-year-old teenager, a black teenager who was forced by segregation to attend the Robert Roussa Moton High School, a dilapidated building, overcrowded. It was so crowded that when the school bus got there with students, they turned it into the classroom for the day. And then the school board, the white school board, thought, well, we ought to do a little something to help with the crowding. And they built these long tar paper shacks for the students to have extra classes in, heated by potbelly stoves. The roofs leaked on the days that it rained so bad that the students would hold an umbrella in one hand and write their assignments with the other. Well, Barbara was a very observant student, and she didn't think this was right, because her school didn't have a gymnasium, a cafeteria, a science lab, but the high school in Farmville, Virginia, for the white students had all those things. And she decided something had to be done about this. So with the help of trusted friends, she planned that there would be a student-led assembly in the springtime, and she rallied her classmates to go on strike. to have a walkout, and she encouraged all 400 students to follow her, and out they went, out the door, outside, and they decided to walk downtown to the superintendent's office and demand that they had a high school just as good as Farmville High School. He said no, and then he suspended the students. They stayed out of school for 2 weeks, trying to press their demands. And in that time, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People took notice of what students were standing up for, and they came to offer their legal help. And so, with the agreement of the students and their parents, a court case was formed to challenge segregated schools. And in the federal court in Virginia, they pleaded their case and they lost. But they didn't stop. They didn't give up. So their case advanced all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and many people will know about the famous decision the Supreme Court made in 1954 called Brown versus the Board of Education. The famous decision that said separate but equal is inherently unequal. And so segregation was banned and the schools had to be integrated. So how did this go over in Farmville? Well, for Barbara, her life was threatened. The Ku Klux Klan came and burned a cross in her family's front yard, and her parents decided to protect her by sending her off to Montgomery, Alabama, to live with an uncle and finish her schooling. But the school board resisted this idea of integrating schools to the degree that they cut all the funding for all the public schools in Farmville, not only the schools for the black children, but for the white children too. And for 5 years, there was no public education in Farmville until things finally started to ease and improve. So what happened to Barbara? Well, she graduated from high school in Montgomery, Alabama. She went on to Spelman College, the historical black college for women in Atlanta. And she studied there, but left early to get married to Mr. Powell, a pastor. And the family moved to Philadelphia. She raised 5 children there. She eventually finished her degree at Drexel University and continued on. But what happened to her story? Historians didn't forget her. So the state of Virginia kept looking at this, and finally they built a monument right there in Richmond, Virginia, next to their Capitol building, that honors Barbara. And when the decision was made to challenge segregated schools, she wrote in her journal, "It felt like reaching for the moon." And that quotation is behind this monument. Now, in this week's Independent, people can read more about Barbara and see a photograph of this incredible statue that was just revealed in our Capitol building in the Reception Center, Emancipation Hall. And Barbara is one of only 15 women that are represented by statues in all the hallways of Congress. And there are only 3 teenagers or children that are displayed in statues. The other two, one is Sacagawea from North Dakota, and the other is Helen Keller for Alabama. So this just goes to show that youth can change the world, and she fulfilled that desire to create justice and liberty for all, and was of service, as Dr. Martin Luther King inspires all of us to be.
It really is an incredible story, and I'm glad you were able to share it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think it goes to highlight also the goals and intentions of this event that you hold each year, right? To help bring those types of stories to light and help us recognize those people. And I assume that's going to be the goal going forward, correct, Drew?
Yes, we're anticipating a bigger group next year. There are also individuals who've said, "I want to help," that learned about it afterwards and said, "Why didn't I know?" And so one of the things that we are going to be looking for with consultation with Common Ground is, what is the best day? And how can we promote this idea of being of service more so? The Common Ground really feels that democracy flourishes when people participate in their communities. So that's one of the foci of the group, Star Valley Common Ground. And we're a loose group. We don't have a 501c3, and we don't even have officers.
That's all right, though. You have spaghetti, right?
So that's right.
We'll take it. Absolutely. Right. So if someone wants to get involved for next year's event, how do they do that?
Well, they could contact me, drewhannock@gmail.com. Or Star Valley Common Ground has just launched a web page, and it's SV Common Ground. I don't remember the rest, but it's SV Common Ground,
and okay.
I did call it up, but
let's I'm sure
see.
We can. I'm sure we can find it, and we'll make sure we link it to our website when we post this interview online for Star Valley Common Ground, and we can learn more about them as well along the way. Right. So.
And so one of the reasons, as I mentioned earlier, that the Baha'i Faith has been promoting this for so many years is because we really believe that in the oneness of humanity and peace can only come about by the elimination of all forms of prejudice and the promotion of justice.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate both of you stepping in studio. That's Drew and Kip Hannock in studio today, recapping the event in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day and more to come. Anything we missed that you would like to mention today?
Turn out next year, hear another story, and have a great meal with friends. Friends you just meet.
Yeah. And sharing a meal together helps build community. And that was one of the ideas that Star Valley Common Ground promoted was, you know, when you eat together, when you break bread together, you build community.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. In studio again this morning, that's Drew and Kip Hannock, and it's all part of the weekday wake-up this morning on SVI Radio.